This is an iHeart podcast.
Whatever team Fia is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show already on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Gonna be a great weekend. Why? Oh, I don't know. I didn't have anything specific. I just feel like it's gonna be a great weekend. Remember, you can email us your love, your hate, your death threats, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Let's get back to some Ask Dr. Jesse questions as we're all being spied on by a Chinese satellite. Great leader and teacher of the masses. Last week during your discourse on Doolittle, my dime commented that you're an outstanding teacher. I don't know about that. So here's a question for the symmetrical professor. Was Churchill wrong pushing an alliance with Stalin? We could have stalled the liberation of France and not sent tons of armaments to Russia, thereby making Hitler defeat the a Hitler defeat by the communists more likely. With a decimated and overextended German army in Russia, couldn't we then have taken France and the Low Countries? We had nuclear bombs, so on and so forth. Looking at the accelerating communist dominance in today's world, wouldn't a stalemate with the Nazis have been a better alternative? Well, all right, let's deal with a couple things. Because this is a common thing people talk about today. I've even heard people flat out say, did we back the wrong horse or something like that? Okay. One, let's deal with it from Churchill's perspective. We look at things like 9/11 and things like Pearl Harbor, and we are aghast, angry. These things, that's what it makes us feel. We feel like we just got stung by a bee, which is not a small deal. I've been stung by plenty of them because I'm stupid. I was a kid and I was always messing with them and hornets and whatnot. I remember one time I found a hornet's nest in the ground and thought I could stick a stick in the hole and then they couldn't get out and get me, but it turns out they could get out. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But we feel like we've been stung by a bee. Ow, that hurts. Ugh, I'm mad about it. It is smarting, but it's not the end of the world. Let's keep in mind, for Britain, World War II was potentially the end of the world. Britain did not have a large army. Britain's army they did have almost could have been wiped out at Dunkirk. It was saved. But even then, Hitler was trying to finish Britain off. We know about the Battle of Britain and the great British RAF, their air force that fought off the Germans. But man, if that thing goes the other way, there may not have been a Britain. So from Churchill's perspective, he wasn't fighting World War II the same way we were. And I'm not dogging our commitment to World War II. Lord knows we gave up enough money and blood and things like that. I'm not dogging on that. But we were always fighting World War II because we wanted to win World War II. Britain was fighting World War II because they wanted to keep remaining Britain. That's a different... We Americans don't have, because we have been so blessed by God, not only military and economically, but geographically, where we are on the globe, we've been so blessed by God that we just quite frankly can't relate to people in other nations around the world to this day living in a situation where their country may not exist tomorrow. How many Ukrainians right now were in Ukraine like yesterday, and now they don't have any idea what nation they'll be a citizen of next year? They don't know. Could be Ukraine, could be Russia. They don't know. People are living that out today. All the arguments you make against the communists are valid. But at the time, with the information we had, the Nazis were considered more aggressive and more of a threat. But this always goes back to something else. And this is an interesting question when you're doing alternate history. It's an interesting, spicy question. Remember this about Nazi Germany. When I say Nazis or I say Germany, what do you picture? Almost everyone, the first thing you picture is the Holocaust. It's either the first thing you picture or it's in the top two or three. It just is. Okay, the mass execution, the attempted genocide of Jews. And that's obviously pretty much the worst thing in the world. But let's keep something in mind. The mass execution of Jews, the decision to execute every Jew they could get their hands on, was a decision that was made after they had pretty much been beaten by the Soviet Union and they were being run out of the Soviet Union. Hitler has always hated Jews. It's just who he was. But Hitler wanted to deport them. He did not want to kill them. He wanted to deport them. In fact, he attempted to even deport some here in America, and we sent them back to where they came from. But Hitler wanted them deported. And yes, they killed Jews all over Europe and all over Russia throughout because they hated Jews. But as far as this mass execution of every Jew, that was like the last year or two of the war where that came about. When they lost, what does it look like if they win or they're winning? I don't know. I don't have the answers to all these questions. I think you can unfairly judge us for maybe making some wrong choices. I don't know that you can unfairly judge Winston Churchill for saying, hey, let's back Stalin. He's fighting the Nazis. And to be fair, I believe the number is 8 out of every 9 Nazis killed in World War II was actually killed by the dirty scumbag communists. The Soviet Union is what killed them, because people don't realize, especially people in America, don't realize how much of that war was fought in the Eastern Front. It was the vast majority of that war was fought there. Most Nazis that died, they died in Russia. That's where they died. As far as we go, we made huge errors, but our huge errors weren't necessarily with that, in my opinion. Our errors were with FDR, because he was half a communist himself. He had more sympathies for Stalin than he should have had, and he allowed Stalin on purpose to go into Berlin. You know, we didn't have to let the Soviets take Berlin. Us and the Brits could have pushed forward and taken it, so the Nazis couldn't get it, and then you would have never had that Eastern Western Germany thing, all those Eastern European countries with the Soviet bloc. You wouldn't have had those problems. But FDR chose to let him have it, chose to go a different route and let him have it, and man alive, whole lot of people died because of that. Whole lot of people. Dr. Jesse Ely of the airwaves. I have a food-related pet peeve to share. Cold bread. Is there any excuse for a restaurant to serve cold bread with a meal? I believe bread served in every restaurant and private residence all over the world should melt butter. Do you agree? Okay. He said, I'm enjoying my afternoon coffee with lit powder as I write this. Says his name is Heath. I actually put lit powder from Chalk. I put it in my smoothie. I've never put it in a cup of coffee. That's actually a really good idea. Anyway, Okay. The warm bread thing. If you're a restaurant of any size and you're serving cold bread, you're probably not going to be around very long because it just takes nothing to slip it in the oven at 150 degrees for a couple minutes. Let's focus more on the butter. Restaurants. What are you doing? What are you doing serving me cold butter? Cold butter, you know what it is? Cold butter is an announcement that you actually are just there for show and you're not there to provide a good eating experience. Why are you bringing me bread while also bringing me butter that is not ready to be spread on the bread? How dare you? How dare you, sir? What, Chris? No, there's no excuses for it. All right, Jesse. The RNC. He says, I quit giving to the RNC some 15 years ago. So me saying I will never give money to those low-T losers means little. Do you think we can get enough other Republicans to quit to also force change? Okay. I've had a bunch of these, especially after Ronald McDaniel got reelected again, head of the RNC. Jesse, I hate the RNC. Jesse, let's defund the RNC. Jesse, why can't we defund the RNC? All right, you want to have a tough talk? Why doesn't this happen? How does Ronald McDaniel keep going back after losing and losing and losing? How does the RNC continue to have any budget at all after all the ways and all the times they have done us wrong? There are two parts to this answer, and both parts, they're going to kind of hurt to hear, but they are they're both true. So you want to know why? I'll tell you why in a second. Before we get to that, I need to do a little PSA. We talk a lot about emergency food, making sure you have emergency food. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. Get your emergency food kit. 3 months worth of food. That's what everyone in your home needs. Everyone in your home. What I don't think I stress enough is this. Please keep quiet about that. No, don't get me wrong. You can email me and tell me. That's fine. But you don't need to be putting up pictures on Facebook. Hey, look at my emergency food. You don't need to tell all the neighbors at the party you're going to go to tonight when you get off work, hey, man, got my emergency 3-month food kit. I know you probably want what's best for them, but should the day ever come where you and your family have to bust out your emergency 3-month food kits from My Patriot Supply, you are not going to want people around you to know that you have it. So, yes, I want you to get an emergency 3-month food kit for everyone in your home. My Patriot Supply has them $200 off right now. Yes, go do that. Good, good, good. But they ship it anonymously for a reason, unmarked boxes. Keep it quiet, huh? Keep it quiet. Quiet is underrated. Keep it quiet. MyPatriotSupply.com. Get an emergency 3-month food kit for everyone in your home, but do it quietly, okay? All right, the RNC. Why can't we defund it? Hang on.
Get the cure for rhinos. Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
The Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Reminding you, if you missed any part of the show, including a little history we did at the Open, you can catch the whole thing on iHeart, Google, Spotify, and iTunes. They podcast every show on iTunes. Don't forget, leave a 5-star rating and a review talking about how handsome I am. Now, someone wants to defund the RNC and wants to know if we can do it. The answer to that question is no. And there's a 2-part answer why. One, this isn't even the worst part, but this is one of the bad reasons why. The RNC survives a bunch on big money donors, massive money donors. But why do they keep donating? Why don't they back off? Why don't they back off? Well, here's something you need to understand about some, not all, but some of the big money donors in politics, some rich guys. They're there lots of times, not because they believe as much in the cause. They are there for access. Access. Because remember this. Now, this is something people forget, but this is the truth. This is the truth. Celebrities still get starstruck meeting other celebrities. Did you know that? It's kind of weird because we lump them all in this celebrity thing. But the famous basketball player, he geeks out when he meets Tom Hanks. And Tom Hanks geeks out when he meets the famous basketball player. They're still celebrities in the other guy's eye. Do you understand? The same rule applies when it comes to rich, powerful people and politicians and vice versa. So if you're Johnny Big Bucks, all right, Johnny Big Bucks, here you are. You've made a fortune in imports and exports. The imports and exports, that's what you do. And you're Johnny Big Bucks, and you're a millionaire, and you got a couple mansions. You got a place on a lake. You got a boat. You got the jet skis. You got the pretty dime wife. She's your third, but either way, you got your dime wife, couple kids that aren't on drugs. You're driving a Mercedes-Benz. Life is good. Life is good. You don't need anything. But it would be nice if on top of all that wealth, you also had access to some powerful people, maybe a senator, governor, congressman, maybe even a presidential hopeful. My goodness, what if he wins? You could have access to the president. And so as part of that, you choose to wade into being a big political donor, but not just for one candidate, for the party. Because you see, if you stroke a big old fat check there, Johnny, if you stroke a big check to the RNC, guess who's getting a special VIP place at the VIP table when Trump comes to town to give a big speech? Maybe even get yourself a private couple minutes with the Donald in the background. Think that would look good on the mantle? Hey, kids, check it out. Daddy Johnny got to hang with the big man. It's part of why they do it. The rich donors who love the invites to the fancy dinners so they can sit by senators and congressmen and governors and presidents, they keep donating because they're not necessarily donating for the reasons you would donate, for the cause and things like that. They're donating for access. They want access. The second part of that answer is actually worse than the first part. Why can't we defund the RNC? I'm going to be as merciful as I can here. It's because low information people on the right don't realize how many crooked scams there are fundraising by email. And this is what I mean. Okay, the issue of the day is what? The Chinese spy balloon. Everybody and their brother out there wants the thing shot down. We look weak. We look terrible. Why aren't we shooting down the balloon? Why aren't we shooting down the balloon? So it's the hot issue of the day, right? Well, right now, as we speak, at organizations like the RNC, shoot, they maybe already did it today. I don't know. I'm not on the email list. There's somebody whose job it is to fundraise on behalf of the RNC. And one of their jobs is fundraise electronically on websites and emails. Just telling you how this works. So if it's my job today, it's Jesse Kelly, I'm at the RNC, and it's my job to fundraise on behalf of the RNC, what should I send out today by email? Should I be honest and say, hey, it's Jesse at the RNC. I need to raise some money today so we can pay salaries and I need to make my fundraising quota. Or let's say I'm somebody with no moral fiber whatsoever. What if I sent out an email today saying, stop the Chinese spy drone in America. Donate $15 today. And then way at the bottom in the teeny, teeny, teeny fine print, you see all donations go to the Republican National Committee. That's how politics does things. It's dirty and it's terrible, but it's true. You remember that one Trump organization, and I don't know whether he knew this or what, but when Herschel Walker was up for his election and the special election in Georgia, big fundraising email went out, help Herschel Walker win the election. And then if you dig into it, the fine print said, 5% of your donations go to Herschel Walker. The rest of it, Team Trump. This is how they do it in politics. It's dishonest and it's awful. But how do they get this money? They send out all these emails to little grannies who are mad about the direction of their country, understandably so, and they're patriotic and they want to do the right thing. So, Herb, we can give 10 bucks from our Social Security. We have to stop the Chinese. Which is part of the reason I hate it, because you're taking advantage of people who don't know. They just don't know how dirty and skeevy you are. But that's how they raise so much money. And whatever the issue of the day is tomorrow, they'll send out a new email. Help us stop the border invasion. Donate $100 today. And people line up and donate $100, and not a penny of that money is going to any kind of border security. Going to RNC donations. That's the truth. There, that's the... Hey, you wanted the ugly part? That's the ugly part. Speaking of ugly, let's talk about John Fetterman. Hang on.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. 3 times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
On down to San Antonio. When I hear that whistle,
it is the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Dear Oracle with the greatest name ever, I know Chris poo-pooed your idea of going to a bar for a book signing, but don't listen to him. I'm not listening to Chris. Chris is such a goody-two-shoes square nerd. We're totally going to bars. If I'm allowed to, I'm going to bars. I and my wife went to a book signing of a conservative author. He said Brian Kilmeade in Long Island. And let me tell you, it was a great time. The crowd was mature and got along great. Yeah, well, that's not my crowd. Nothing like eating greasy wings and getting sauced up right before you meet a best-selling author. Listen, I know the crowd was mature at somebody like Brian's meetup at a bar. No one is under the impression that my people are going to be mature. Now, don't get me wrong, everyone will be well-mannered. Well, actually, I take that back. No, you won't be well-mannered either. You're going to be absolute ruffians, and it's going to be wonderful and hilarious. I cannot wait. I cannot wait. Chris, I think this will work. The problem is, when do we do the meetups? And this is what I mean. You got to do it after work, after people get off of work, but I do the show when people do off of when people get off of work. So how am I supposed to handle this? Do I try to record a show earlier in the day, which is weird and awkward? Then you're missing any live news. Then I can't be Journalist Jesse.
It's Journalist Jesse.
There's just no one better.
We love Jesse. He's the best.
Jesse, please kiss my baby.
Jesse, 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 Jesse.
Do you record the show so the audience gets a show and then you go out? Or do you just late night it and do the show and then go right to the bar? Have half the people be half in the bag by the time we get there. Maybe that's the way to go. Maybe that's, it would be hilarious. Either way, we'll work it out. Hey, we'll work it out. All right. The book doesn't even come out till June 6th. You can pre-order it now, but we have till June to figure out all the details. Fashionista Jesse. Although it's been a while since you've railed against ballet flats, I have taken it to heart. My question is, what is the appropriate replacement for a 6-foot-tall female that cannot wear heels? Not only is it hard to feel feminine when you're towering over your husband while wearing heels, And she puts in parentheses, why have all the 6'8 Adonises been snapped up by the shortest women, by the way? She goes on to say, but I used to be a bit of a daredevil and have broken my foot several times. My doctor that didn't attend a fine community college actually had me throw out all my shoes, especially my heels. I can't exactly wear tennis shoes with a skirt. What is a lurch to do? Okay, one, just a little rewind because we have so many new listeners to the show. Ladies, I know this is going to hurt to hear, but it's not me who's been rude to you. I want you to understand this. It's society. Society has poured lies into your ears. They've told you many, many lies, right? But maybe the biggest lie they've told you, ladies, is that those ballet flats are in any way socially acceptable. Those are the ugliest things I have ever seen in my entire life. They are the ugliest, least flattering things I've ever seen. They don't look professional. They don't look good. They make you look like a 12-year-old girl on the way to ballet practice. And please don't attempt this thing you try every time when I bring this up and say, but they're comfortable. Okay, my sweatpants are comfortable. Should I wear that out on a date? I have a real comfortable wife beater at home. It's even got some Doritos stains on it. Should I wear that? Should I wear? Oh, I shouldn't? Oh, I thought comfort was all that matters. Take your ballet flats right now. I don't even want you to throw them away because you got to learn to resist temptation. I know your girlfriends have told you they look so cute. Oh my gosh. I know this society of low T men has been telling you, well, no, honey, I think they really do look good on you. Whoever told you that's lying. I don't care if it's your father, brother, husband, boyfriend, girlfriend, whoever told you that's lying. They look terrible and everyone knows they're terrible. So I don't want you to throw them in the garbage. I want you to take them out back right now. Find a way to get some lighter fluid on them, and I want you to burn them, and I want you to sit there and watch them burn so you make sure you never, ever buy those again. That's one. Two, fellas, if you have a woman in your life, if you have a wife, sister, girlfriend, mother, and she wears these ballet flats, and you have never confronted her about them, here's what I need you to do. I know you're in a pickle. Here's what I need you to do. I'm going to give you practical steps. The first thing you need to do is, you need to go to chok.com, chok.com, and you need to get yourself a male vitality stack. Because what happens is you haven't told your wife her ballet flats are ugly because your T levels are too low. You actually don't even need to go see a doctor. You already know your T levels are too low if your girl wears ballet flats. So you need to get on a male vitality stack from Chok. Give it 90 days, 20% increase in your testosterone should get you ready to go. And then you can go sit her down and let her know they're too ugly. Ladies, if you're wearing these flats, I need you to go get on a female vitality stack. I need you to feel more like a woman and not like a 12-year-old at ballet. So chok.com, promo code Jesse, gets men and women 35% off a subscription. Chok alone will get this nation off of ballet flats. All right? So that's your step-by-step process. Now, as far as what you wear, ladies, okay, the bad news is your flats need to be burned. You have to go burn them right now. The good news is this. It doesn't mean it has to be high heels. I mean, of course you look like a knockout in high heels. Everyone knows that. But God made you hot for a reason. Remember, I know you suffer from being annoying. That's nothing you can do about that. But God overcompensated when he made you super hot. So you look good in sneakers. If you have to wear a skirt or wear a dress, wear boots. Wear cowboy boots. Look, this isn't just a Texas thing or a Montana thing. You women understand how good you look in cowboy boots? Don't want some, get yourself a good pair. Spend some money. Get a good pair of cowboy boots. Wear some cowboy boots. Wear anything. Just the ballet flats have to go. All right? They do. They have to go. Look, fellas, maybe you're still not sure. Well, do you want to sound like this?
You know, climate change just gets worse every year as long as you continue emissions. A pandemic.
Do you think he let them wear ballet flats on Epstein Island? I bet.
We're likely to go a fair period of time without either a naturally.
Allegedly.
Or intentionally caused pandemic. But when it does strike, you know, we saw tens of millions of lives and tens of trillions of dollars. Fortunately, the cost to be ready for the next pandemic is a rounding error compared to what it takes to retool the modern economy.
I bet Melinda Gates had nothing but ballet flats on. I bet that's partially why they got a divorce, on top of the fact he had a close relationship with international sex trafficker Jeffrey Epstein.
To solve climate change. So, you know, preparation for earthquakes, pandemics, governments are responsible for their people's welfare. And so a modest investment should make us able to not have a severe pandemic.
My goodness, T levels are so low. They're so low. Every time I listen to Bill Gates, they get lower. All right, enough. Enough. Dear Cheeseburger Meister, a few days ago, you played a hilarious sound clip of Fetterman yelling and muttering gibberish as only Fetterman can. You said you were going to add it to the soundboard, but haven't heard it since. Oh, let me correct you, my friend. It has been officially added as one of the permanent fixtures to the soundboard. I miss it. I miss it when Senator Cucumber was out on the campaign trail and they tried to keep him hidden at all times. Man, Chris, we really should have come up with, this is a failure on our part, we should have come up with a Fetterman's greatest hits of all the times he just completely lost his, oh, we can still do that. Yes, we can. We should. And now people may be tempted to say, oh, but the campaign's over. That doesn't mean we have to stop being mean just because they're not campaigning anymore. Now is the time we should be extra mean. Look, this is too good. Remember the debate? Remember the debate? Now, Oz sucked because Oz sucks. You know, thanks a lot. That was a great endorsement. Anyway, Oz sucks. But Fetterman gave the worst debate performance in the history of the United States of America. Wrap your mind around that. You witnessed that this year. Well, last year, because it was 2022. But you witnessed that. Remember, he couldn't talk and he kept having these weird pauses and didn't look right. You could tell in his mind that he didn't even know where he was. It was great. I mean, it's terrible. I feel bad for him. But it was really great. It was really great. All right. We only have one more segment for Ask Dr. Jesse questions. That means we got to churn them and burn them. You ready for this? Gear up. It's time. Hang on. What, Chris? We can make jokes. It's fine.
You got that right. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. All right, we got to go through as many of these as we can possibly go through, all right? You ready? Gear up. Here we roll.
And now...
here's a headline.
By the, go, you know the thing.
Emails!
We didn't get to.
Dear God of Product Placement. What is that supposed to mean, Chris? What does he mean by that? God... it's a compliment. It was, all right, I'm taking that as a dear God of product placement. I wouldn't say I'm a God of product placement. You don't ever want to call yourself a God. Maybe you could call me a tower of product placement. Which reminds me, for $11 a month, you can donate to Tunnel to Towers, and you can help provide homes for catastrophically injured veterans, for Gold Star widows, first responder families. $11 a month is virtually nothing. That's one trip to Starbucks. If you go to t2t.org, you can sign up and give it automatically, and you'll never have to think about it again. That'll be you. $11 a month, every single month, to Tunnel to Towers. t2t.org. All right? Anyway, tower of product placement. On to the email. You were talking Wednesday about mentioning prices to my normie neighbor. I actually did something similar to my friend recently. He votes Democrat. He despises all the trans stuff and spending and basically everything that's happening right now. I looked him in the eye and said, "You voted for this." He scoffed and said, "Well, I don't want this stuff." I said again, "You voted for the party that has implemented all of this. It sure as heck wasn't Republicans that did this." I swear you could hear the gears in his head grinding. I think I may have actually made a light bulb go off in his tiny brain. The Democrats don't campaign on what they implement. It's constant Republicans are racist, bigots, homophobes. Our normie neighbors don't pay attention like us. They hear that and don't want to be labeled like that, so they vote Democrat, even though they don't support what Democrats do. We don't need to be screaming on the sidewalks, but we need to speak up where we can. Listen. maybe this is the campaign we should begin. A direct, maybe rude, maybe not, campaign of when friends and family who vote Democrat complain about things that are the result of Democrat policies, a simple, you voted for this. You voted for this. You voted for this. What if we chose to embark on a campaign of our own? You see, what we've had in this country is an endless, decades-long campaign of shame for you and the things you believe. Oh, you stupid right-wingers. Do you actually don't believe in man-made climate change? You're stupid. You don't believe America's racist? You're stupid. You don't believe America's misogynistic? You're stupid. You believe in deporting illegal immigrants? You're a monster. You're this. You're that. Oh, you believe in family? You're so gross. Oh, you believe God created the earth? What an anti-science idiot. And so they've created this culture where we have become silent because they've been the conversational aggressors. What if we choose to be aggressive back and choose to reverse that shame? I personally have a couple Democrat friends, not super close, but people who run in my circles. They don't talk politics anymore. Why? Last few times they did it, and it wasn't just me. I know what you're thinking. It wasn't just me. They were viciously met with some scorn along the lines of, this is you. You did it. I've told you forever, one of the biggest voting blocks we're missing on the right is the older Democrat. You Democrats that are hate listening right now, 50, 60, 70 years old, voted for JFK, parents did and whatnot, you don't have any relation to this party. You don't share any values with this party of communist monsters now. None. Yet you go keep voting for them. Why? Because mom did? Because you've always done it? Wake up. All this crap you see out there. You mad that China is busy thumbing their nose at us right now? That's flying a spy drone over here? Just giving it to us publicly in front of the whole world. You mad about that? Why are you mad? You voted for it. Dear midlife crisis car having designer dog owning makeup wearing part-time radio host. It's not nice. I've been researching Roman emperors and currently am on Trajan. Which of the Roman emperors do you find most fascinating and why? I always found Caligula to be the most fascinating for a bunch of different reasons. Everyone knows the horror stories about Caligula and the horrible perversions and things like that. People understand that. But one of the things that's crazy is there are a lot of indications out there, and you never know because it's such old history. You never know what you can read or what you can't. There are a lot of indications out there that Caligula was going to be a very good emperor and was a good man until he either got poisoned or got sick. And we don't know the answer to this. He was relatively normal when he started taking over. Remember, Caligula was a term of endearment. As a child, his father was a Roman general. And he would, as a child, he was in the Roman camps with all the Roman soldiers. And they loved him. And they named him Caligula. It means little boots because he little Roman soldier outfits around there. They called him Little Boots. When he took over, he did some good things right off the bat. And then he ate a meal one night, and there was, again, it's described differently depending on who you read. Either he was poisoned or something happened. He was basically in a coma for a little while. And when he came out, he was never the same. Now, maybe that was paranoid from what he thought was an assassination attempt or something like that. But I find that little thing to be totally fascinating. Was this monster of history, was he going to be like a normal dude? And then he got poisoned and turned into one of, how many more people are more reviled throughout history than Caligula? There are some, but man, there aren't many. He's got to be on the top 10 list of virtually everybody's fascinating, right? Dear world famous author, by the way, I appreciate everybody's telling me that, but I'm only world famous if the book goes to number one. It has to go to number one. Get out there, pre-order your book, jessekellybook.com. jessekellybook.com. It's the Anti-Communist Manifesto. It's not a favor. I'm not asking for favors. I'm asking to buy, for you to buy the blueprint. on how we fight back against these trash people and maybe laugh once or twice throughout the book. Did get word. We should be cleared now with all the legal hurdles, Chris. There are definitely some people and some entities who might sue, so they are definitely gearing up for that. So that's something to think about. But if you think I don't hold back here, imagine what I did in print. Hey, we had to lay it out for all these pieces of trash. JesseKellyBook.com. Oh shoot, I actually threw that one away before I read it. Hold on, I have to grab it. I know the show's almost over. I'm trying to get to it. I'd like to congratulate you, but my 22-year-old younger brother is published as well, so I'm not that impressed. That's not very nice. You love Red Lobster, so on and so forth. What do I think about Cheesecake Factory? I like Cheesecake Factory, but the problem with Cheesecake Factory is, one, it's very expensive, and two, the menu's almost too big. When you're doing that many things, it tells me you're not doing any particular thing very well. Don't spread yourself too thin. And don't focus on politics this weekend. Get rid of this political crap. You go have fun. Put your phone down for the weekend, all right? That's all.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.